class goes better than the day's gone so far. I'm brain dead by now, so we'll see how it goes. Book of Colossians. We know that Paul is a prisoner in Rome at this particular time. Wrote about four books while he was in prison. At least we believe that to be the case. And this is one of them. Doesn't seem like Paul has ever been to Colossae. Look at chapter 1 and verse 4. And the reason I say that, he says, since we heard of your faith in Christ. And also chapter 2, I believe it is, in verse 1, he mentioned the fact he have you know what great conflict or striving I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. So I can't say for certain that he's not been to Colossae, but it appears that he does not or has not been. But obviously he knows quite a bit about what's going on, and he has found that out through Epaphras, however you pronounce that. Chapter 1 and verse 7 said, talked about the fact that these people had learned from him, his fellow servant, who was a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. So he has some first-hand information at least about the church at Colossae. We know from chapter 4, and most of you know I usually look at the end of the book first before I do much else. But chapter 4 and verse 7, we find out who is going to deliver. 7 and 8, a faithful minister, fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. Now, isn't that a funny thing for a guy in prison to say, comfort your hearts? But that's what he says. And also, we see from verse 9 that Onesimus is also be going along. Paul is sending him back to his master, former master at least, Philemon. And so he is going along, and of course Tychicus will deliver that letter also. Don't know exactly what Paul is trying to combat in this particular letter, but we do know that there are some people who apparently are trying to get these people at Colossae to follow a bunch of rules about food, drink, special days, even talking about angel worship and so forth. So Paul has to write this letter, and I think if we look at the first couple of chapters particularly, we see that he is trying to convince these people that Christ is all you need. You are complete in Christ. And I think that's really the message of the first couple of chapters. And then he says, since that is the case, then this is the way you ought to conduct yourself. Particularly chapter 3, we see a lot of this putting off. These are the things you have to put off. You need to put these on if you are to be accepted as a Christian. And then, of course, the latter part of the chapter 4, we get into the relationships that we all find ourselves in, at least one or more of these as we travel through life. The husband-wife relationship, the parent-child, servant-master, and so forth. Very much like the book of Ephesians that Greg covered Sunday. Lots of similarities between these two books. Also, continuing my backward approach to these things. I just thought about this man being in prison, been 2 years in Caesarea, almost 2 years now possibly in prison in Rome, how we might have felt. But it seems like he's not too downtrodden. But it's good to know that he has a lot of people that he's close to, a lot of people that are giving him encouragement and so forth. And he lists those in chapter 4. Of course, we know from chapter 1, though, in verse 1, that Timothy is there. But chapter 4 and verse 10 talks about Aristarchus. And here he's called a fellow prisoner. Now, we know that he was on the ship with Paul as they left Caesarea heading to Rome. Whether or not he was one of the prisoners, we don't know, but now he is referred to as a fellow prisoner. No explanation as to when and why, but of course he's a very close friend to Paul. And we see John Mark, chapter 4 and verse 10, one who had caused some strife or division among Paul and Barnabas after the first missionary journey as they began to prepare for the second. But now he received commendation from Paul. He says, if he comes, you know, receive him. And also we know from 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11, as Paul was in prison the second time, he is asking that John Mark be brought to him. And he says there, he is profitable to me for the ministry. So, we see this young man apparently has grown considerably from when we first met him when he turned back on the first missionary journey. One of the name of Jesus or Justice, all we know is he's a Jew. He's of the circumcision, chapter 4 and verse 11. And he's been a fellow worker and a comfort to Paul. And Epaphras, we mentioned from chapter 1, verse 7. And also chapter 4 and verse 12. He also has a great deal of zeal toward the Colossians. And Philemon, verse 23, mentions that he is a fellow prisoner in Christ. And Luke, we know he is a physician, and we learn that here. The beloved physician Luke, he traveled with Paul to Rome and been with him apparently all this time. Demas, chapter 4 and verse 14. Here he is with Paul, but later on in 2 Timothy 4 and 10, unfortunately, Paul has to write, he has loved this present world and is departed unto Thessalonica. Antichicus, we've already mentioned, one that would carry the letter, and Onesimus. Verse 16 has caused quite a bit of discussion in times past, and I guess still is to be discussed among a lot of folks. When this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea, whatever that epistle is. Some speculation is that it may be the letter that we have labeled Ephesians. And I guess there is some possibility of that, because there's a tremendous amount of similarity between these two books. Even, go back to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15. The same wording almost that I just got through reading a minute ago. It said, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in Jesus and love unto all the saints. That's almost word for word that we have in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 4. Also, you don't see any personal greetings or anything in the book of Ephesians. Now, why would you think that would be unusual? Paul had only spent 3 years there. He had met with the elders as he headed back to Jerusalem. So you would have thought that in the book of Ephesians you would have had some personal word of greeting or something. But we don't see that. But whatever the case is, we know that God's word is inspired. Whatever we've got, no matter what the title is, we've got what we need. And I think that's the bottom line. We need to, that's what we need to be concerned with. Comments, questions? We've got Greg back there and Greg Gary up front. If you've got questions, just feel free to ask them. We'll get one of them to answer. Okay, chapter 1. Paul, he does send his greetings for the first few verses there. Again, pointing out that he is an apostle of Christ by the will of God. He didn't take that apostleship on himself. He was chosen as an apostle to do a particular work, particularly among the Gentile brethren. Verse 5, kind of, the wording in verse 5 kind of struck me as being a little unusual. Talked about, where have you heard before in the word of the truth of the God? What's the difference in those three words? The word is the truth, it is the gospel. The truth is the word, it is the gospel. And the gospel is the word and the truth. It's almost hammering it on. You are because of the truth, the word, the gospel that you have heard. And as a result of that, you are bringing forth fruit as you ought to do. Now, he begins, though, in about verse 9, talking about what he has been doing for these people as a result of hearing who they are and praying for them. There's at least three different things he's verse 9, he said, he's praying for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Secondly, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in the earth. And he's praying that they might strengthen with all might according to his glorious power, speaking of the power of God, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, and giving thanks unto the Father which has led us of the inheritance. He's speaking of God. Deliver the power and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. In verse 14, he begins to talk about what a glorious Savior we have. Look at all the things that he says about Jesus. And think about the position that Jesus occupies in even today. It said in verse 4, have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. Verse 15, he is the image of God. Verse 15 also, he ranks first in all creation. Verse 16 and 17, he is the creator and also the sustainer of life. Verse 18, he is the head of the church. Verse 19, he is the fullness of the Godhead. The fullness of this, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So he's the fullness of God the Father. And also in verse 20, he is the one who reconciles us. So he's trying to find these people. Look who Jesus is. He is the Savior. What a wonderful Savior we have. And he's going to say, that's all you need. You need to follow him. And you're going to be complete in him. And he will use those words later on as he talks to these people through this letter. But that's a list of a lot of characteristics to attribute. He's reconciled us. But it's up to us to keep that relationship. With the Father. Verse 21, he talks about, and you were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet his flesh through death to fully unblameable and unreproachable. And then he says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, was made a minister. So we've got to be just like these people. We've got to remain grounded and so forth in the gospel, or we'll just be a no in the back. Does anybody have a star by the this was preached to every creature which is under at that? I don't know how big at that time, but I don't believe this is a lie. Somebody has been doing a lot of work. At least people have had the opportunity to hear the gospel. And of course, many of them had received it. Many of them had turned it back on him. Okay. He talks about rejoicing in verse 24. He said, rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for your body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister. So he's had the opportunity to preach to many and let them know about the mystery of Christ, the gospel, and be able to preach it especially to the Gentiles, that they might have Christ in their life. And verse 27 talks about verse 28. It just it's kind of wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ.